Hello out there. Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast. What would you do if your husband took his own life and then years later, you almost lost both of your sons to suicide as well? You're about to meet a woman who didn't just survive that. She now spends every day fighting to prevent suicide and helping people heal. It's a powerful and inspiring story you won't want to miss. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors past and present, and your families, and thank you for your service to our great country. Before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback with additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision, and USAA. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I'm going to say every week, we love them too. March is Women's History Month, and we are celebrating this occasion with the first in a two-part series featuring a woman who is making a difference in suicide awareness and prevention. And I'm honored to introduce America's resilience expert, Kristen. Kristen, let me read the rest to make sure I've got it all right here. You were also the 2018 U.S. Air Force Spouse of the Year, 2019 Top Women Military Influencer. I don't think I've ever influenced anybody. And the co-founder of the National Veterans Vocational Village. So clearly you're busy. So thanks for taking time to be on the show.
I would not miss the opportunity. Thank you so much.
Before we get to what you're doing now, we need to understand why you're doing it. So please tell us a little bit about your background and the events that really have shaped your life.
I am a product of the military. I grew up in the Air Force. We moved every 2 years all over the world, loved the lifestyle. Despite moving so much, I became a world-class athlete in tennis and golf. And my junior year in high school, 1983. So, sir, so you don't have to do public math. I'm 39 plus shipping and handling. I was a junior in high school, 15 years old in 1983. We were stationed in Germany, had just won the golf championship in Germany for all the American high schools. Beat the number one boy by 5 strokes. Can you tell I'm competitive?
No, and, not at all.
planning on going on the pro tennis circuit and experienced a massive stroke from a brain bleed.
Oh, wow.
And it took me a year and a half to learn to walk again after brain surgery. I tell you, I went through speech therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, but it was when I tried to open up the car door while we were driving down the Autobahn that my parents understood I needed another kind of therapy. I was lost in this deep despair of depression because I had misplaced my identity. My identity was placed on what I did, not who I was as a person. And the lessons I learned during that time helped me later on when my Air Force husband came back from Iraq and took his life in 2008. Our boys were 12 and 14 at the time. And the lessons I learned trying to navigate my own depression helped me in part to navigate the tough lessons we had to learn in 2008.
Yeah. You know, when you first heard about your husband's suicide, first of all, I don't know how I could, me personally, I don't know how I could deal with that, but how did you deal with it?
Man, I remember 16 years ago, it'll be 16 years in April this year. that doorbell ringing and the officers and chaplain in the corner actually notifying us. And all I could think of was our poor boys. I understand now what the word catatonic truly, truly means. I saw that in my children. And I made one phone call to my Bible study leader, and she was a neighbor, and her husband was in the Air Force. And pretty soon our house was filled with people. I could not have gotten through everything that we went through, especially that raw moment in time, without our community. And that's what helped us become resilient and to really feel the feelings, bounce back, and then move forward. But I will never, ever forget that question my kids asked. Why didn't he love us enough? And I don't have an answer.
Yeah. Here lately, well, I mean, the last year or so, I've had a couple of my friends commit suicide. And I always go back and start thinking about, you know, what if I'd have did something else? Is there something else I could have done, or there's something I missed there? And I always go back with the same answer. I think I did all I could, and I'm not sure I could have did anything else. How did your husband's death, I'm sure it affected your sons a great deal, but how did it affect your sons?
Yeah, Ryan was 14 and Ben was 12. Ryan insisted on giving the eulogy at his dad's funeral. And that was just heartbreaking. But one thing that he said that just resonated with that chapel full of people, it was standing room only. He said, "Please don't remember my dad for his last act, but remember him for his leadership and his life." But both the boys just went through so much turmoil. As research indicates, those who lose a loved one or someone that they care about due to suicide, they're more likely to attempt. And my boys, unfortunately, were a part of that statistic. Both boys attempted. And my oldest son was diagnosed with bipolar about a year after his dad's death. And the doctors feel like the bipolar presented early. It usually presents in the early 20s, early mid-20s. He was 16 when he was diagnosed, and he got into self-medicating with alcohol and drugs. And unfortunately, the last time I saw him, he was 22 years old. September 20th of 2015 was the last time I saw Ryan.
Yeah, and you haven't seen Ryan. You told me, I think, on the prep call, it's been like 8.5 years or is the last time, but there's no contact at all with him at all. And you've did a lot to try to find him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I will say, sir, there is always hope. I am a woman of faith, and I stand firm on that faith that he is out there somewhere. And I hope that he's doing well, and I want him to call home. I want to walk alongside of him. I just want to know that he's okay. But there's always hope. There is always hope.
Yeah. Just a few minutes we talked about, I listened to a voicemail you said that we could play on the show if we wanted to play on the show. Could you talk a little bit about that with us? I mean, I'm sure that was a... But I've got to be honest with you. When I listen to it, even thinking about it now, makes me tear up. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I thank you for the opportunity to talk about that. I actually use this voicemail in my presentations on suicide prevention to help people understand the aftermath of what is left behind. A lot of times people think that they're a burden to their family and their community. And this voicemail that my youngest son, Ben, left 8 years after his dad's suicide on Ben's 20th birthday. And it was the night he attempted suicide when he was at the University of Arizona in Tucson.
I did that. Oh, love his dad so much. I can't live without him. I can't. I need him right now. I need him so much.
It's like I say, when I listen to it, I couldn't help tearing up. It's you know, I was talking a minute ago. We started doing a little bit of research, and I didn't know this, but there's about 132 people a day in the U.S. that try to commit suicide, and there's, I guess, one every 26 seconds or something like that. And what I said to the, when I was talking about it a few minutes ago, says, you know, it takes all of us to try to make a difference through communications and talking to each other and trying to, you know, if you can help one person, you're doing exactly what, you know, that needs to be done. That's for sure. I don't know if we'll ever find a solution. I hope we do anyway, but it all starts with talking and listening, I think, anyway.
Listening is such a powerful tool. You know, I remember that night 16 years ago, I can close my eyes and remember every single person who was in my house that night we were notified. And I know I had a number of conversations, but I only remember two of them. One was a friend from church. She came over, gave me a hug, and she said, "Kristen, he's in a better place." And in the rawness of that moment, I snapped back and I said, "Why isn't the better place at the kitchen table with his family?" Yeah. And then about 20 minutes later, another friend came over and she gave me a hug and she said, "Kristen, I have no words for you."
Yeah.
Which would you rather hear in that rawness, in that 10 out of 10 on the pain scale, in the time that you're in shock, still trying to navigate everything? You know, I know what my friend meant when she said he's in a better place, but it's okay not to have the words, but it's okay to sit in the darkness with your friends.
Yeah. And
to use your intuition. When your intuition is telling you need to reach out to someone, I want to encourage all of your viewers and listeners, stop what you're doing. Pull over if you're driving. And text that person, say, "Hey, I was just thinking about you," because I guarantee you, they need to hear from you.
Yeah, it's important. Sometimes I guess, unfortunately, I'm getting a little bit older. Like we talked about, you're still 39. I'm way past that 39. But when I do go to funerals and I go to things like that, I usually don't say anything because I'm not sure what to say. And I do exactly what one of your friends did. I went up and say, I hug them and say, "I'm here for you if you need me." I think that's probably the best way to deal with that. But there's never a perfect way to deal with anything like that. I mean, all you can say is, "I'm here for you, and if you need me, please reach out." And the other thing I'll tell you that most people are probably a little apprehensive to reach out. I don't know about you. I guess you reached out to your church and stuff, but was you a little, I mean, did you sort of, I guess maybe you didn't, but sort of pull back a little bit and a little bit more reserved and sort of wanted to be by yourself and didn't want to be around anybody and you just want to sort it out mentally with yourself. Did you do that?
I certainly did. So, sir, if you haven't noticed, I'm an uber extrovert. I can suck the air right out of an introvert's lungs when I walk into a room if I'm not careful. But that test that we went through, that trauma, that post-traumatic stress that we were dealing with, I was so much more reserved than typical. I'm typically a Tigger. I was more of an Eeyore. And that's where friends really understood that some of them had to protect me from other people just coming up. You know, it's reading, it's that intuition. I think we all have friends that are empathic. They read people really well, and those are people to have on your team. But I will tell you, when I was alone, that's when those night demons came out. That's when all the shame and guilt showed up on my doorstep, between my ears. I really want to encourage people when they are going through trauma. Yes, if you need to be by yourself to recharge, but have someone that you can call, someone who's willing to come over. You know, my best friend and her two boys were my boys' best friends. She took her boys out of school and they lived with us for 3 days.
Oh, wow.
And she actually slept on Don's side of the bed, so it wouldn't be empty.
Yeah.
It's just, it's showing up. But when you're in crisis, that's the least likely time that you're able to ask for help. And so it takes those of us who are around those people to be their emotional support human to come alongside, right? And take some of that, some of the everyday things off their plates.
I think the other thing too is people want, they don't know what to say, so they're not gonna engage you. They're sort of gonna stay away from you a little bit and sort of, mm-hmm. you know, they're, I'm not say afraid, but they just, don't want to engage, they don't know what to say, and they don't want to make it an awkward moment. I'm sure there's a lot of them out there doing that too, but you're such a bubbly, motivating person that likes to engage people, and that's good. And you know, when I see somebody like you that's went through such a trauma in your life that sort of picked yourself up and kept pushing and going forward, that's motivating for me, and it's really good for certainly the people that are listening today that could be struggling. Kristen, I want to talk about how you began to heal after all of this, but we need to take a quick break. So hold that thought. I love talking to you. We'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major in the Army. And if you find this show helpful, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. And be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after this word from our presenting sponsor.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Kristen Christie, who is America's resilience coach and co-founder of the National Veterans Vocational Village. Kristen, before the break, you told us about your husband's death by suicide and the toll that that it took on your sons. How did it affect your mental health, and how did you begin to heal?
It was hard. There were times where I did not want to get out of bed. My boys did not go to school some days because I was just in a fetal position in bed. It was really difficult, but I had friends that would come over to the house and they wouldn't take my boys to school. They made me get out of bed to take my kids to school.
Yeah.
So they didn't enable that. They encouraged. Now I will admit, at the time I thought they were nagging. Right? But hindsight, they were encouraging me to get up and to live life. And it took a little while. The shame and guilt, I failed as a mother, I failed as a spouse, lived in our household and in between my ears for a long time. But I noticed that once I started talking about our story, and the lessons that we learned, the tough lessons we learned, I found that it was healing for me. It took a while. It wasn't until 2018, when I was named Air Force Spouse of the Year, that I really started telling the story of losing my identity when I had the stroke, the sense of community that came alongside of us every installation we were assigned to. Some of those installations were not the ones that we chosen, right? Grand Forks, North Dakota was not one on our list. But it was really that sense of community, and I had to reach out, and my friends reached out to me, and they really helped me understand that I had my own identity. I had been Don's spouse, Ryan and Ben's mom for so long, but I was Kristen Christie, and I had my own identity, and I was valuable, and I mattered, and I could either keep the lessons I learned to myself, or I could help tutor others after the tests that they've been through, tutor them through those life lessons. And that is what, that has really become my passion and my purpose. It's awful that I had to go through so much to find my purpose, but we all want to feel protected, respected, and connected. And my friends in our community and resources helped me do that.
Did you ever blame yourself in any way?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And I had a few family members on Don's side of the family that blamed me as well. They needed someone to blame, but they could not blame me more than I blamed myself.
Yeah.
But I had to learn to forgive myself. I had to learn to forgive myself for the actions I did while trying to survive. Yeah. I did the best that I could with the tools that I had.
Yeah. I was going to ask, how long did it take you to sort of think that you're sort of functioning again? I mean, it's 6 months, a year, 2 years, or do you ever, you know?
So as a military spouse, living in the military world, we talk in acronyms. and HOPE truly was an acronym that helped me get through. And it was Hold On, Pain, Eases. That E doesn't stand for end, stands for eases. And when I understood that pain will ease, I needed to bounce back and move forward. That truly helped me. I would say about 2 years.
Yeah.
Now everyone's timeline is completely different, right? But for me, it was about 2 years. I ended up getting a full-time job after 2 years. And that really helped me have that sense of purpose outside of being a mom and ultimate, you know, and dad to the boys. And I couldn't be dad at the same time. So, but everyone's timeline's different.
Yeah.
We all go through a 10 out of 10 on the pain scale.
Yeah. I remember coming back from overseas, coming back from war, and for years I was angry. And it just took me a long time to work through it. I don't know if I've ever worked through it completely. Because even today, there's still things that I think as I get older, it bothers me just a little bit more. What lessons have you learned, and when did you realize that you can use your experience to really help others?
So the lessons I learned, the superpower of community. Yeah. We are not made to do life alone. I learned that I am stronger than I think I am. Mm-hmm. My identity is not based on what I do. And really that the lessons I learned, I can use in whatever capacity I feel comfortable with to make changes. It was 2 years after Don's death that I started socializing the idea of a 3-digit mental health lifeline, the suicide lifeline we've had since 2005, 800 number. We have 911 for a medical emergency. Why couldn't we have a 3-digit number for a mental health emergency? And so when I had that sense of purpose, and I will tell you, when I received no as an answer, that kind of that competitiveness,
yeah.
you know, came to play. And it took 12 years and a team of people. You don't do anything alone. And 988 was finally signed as an executive order in 2020. And in 2022, it went nationwide as the new suicide and crisis lifeline. So the 800 number is still active. 988 is active. If you're a veteran or military, dial one once you're connected, and you can also text to 988. But those two numbers go to the same organization. So it's like two website addresses pointed to the same website, if you will. But it's breaking down barriers.
Yeah.
Just by socializing an idea.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in just a couple of seconds. But I got a couple more questions I want to ask you. What advice would you give someone who just lost a loved one to suicide? Is there anything specific? I mean, you must have three or four really... tips to help them a little bit so they can get through those struggles. What advice would you give them?
Yeah, truly, if you feel guilt, it's misplaced. It's really regret, right? Guilt is when we do something wrong and we have to deal with the consequences. Regret is when you wish that you had done something differently. So please understand that there's a difference between guilt and regret.
Yeah.
We do the best that we can with the tools that we have. We cannot control other people as much as we want to.
I'd love to.
We can't. I bet you do, Sergeant Major. but we can't, right? It's the other person's choice. And unfortunately, we have to live with other people's choice. And be gentle with yourself, but find that trusted agent, that person to come alongside of you, to take notes for you, take your cell phone away and take the messages for you. So you don't have to keep repeating your story each and every time. And just take that time, but have that trusted. I love how the Army has the care team that comes alongside, and there's training. And I'm hoping that the Air Force will take that on too, and the other services. I've gone through the care team training. It is invaluable, but show up. And for those who have someone in their life who is experiencing the loss of a suicide, just be there, show up for them and do something. Not say something, but do something and be intentional.
Yeah, I disagree with you a little bit there. I think that you got to keep pounding away. I think you got to keep that message going, keep it going. I really, and I was talking to somebody here just a couple of days ago, it takes all of us to make a difference. And so that message about what we should do or who we should talk to or how do we prevent that, it's all of us. It's just unbelievable. I just think we have to do more. And I don't think most people that go through the kind of struggles that you have, I wouldn't say not a lot of people know about it, but there is a lot of people that know about it. But sometimes I think we just aren't doing enough. You know, we can put up phone calls, we can do other things, but we just need to do more. Is suicide more prevalent among veterans than it is in the general population? I mean, I was looking something a few minutes ago. It said there's like 132 a day that committed suicide in the U.S. a day.
Yeah, it's, and depending on the reports, we hear about, 22, saving 22. And those numbers were from 2012 and 2013. Mm-hmm. If you look at the last DOD report that came out from 2022, so we're 2 years behind on getting the reports out on suicide in the military, and we're now tracking military spouse and dependent suicide as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's heartbreaking when we have one. But if you look at the reports now, and there are a number of different reports from the VA, from the DOD, it's anywhere from 17 to 44 veterans a day taking their life. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard to determine what programs are working because people aren't readily available or don't want to say, well, this program saved my life, right? We have to look at the suicides that have happened, those who have made a choice, and whether that goes down or not. It's, again, listening is a very powerful tool. I think for military. And again, being a military spouse, I was not able to raise my right hand to take the oath of service because of my stroke. But I raised my left hand and I presented my left hand to take a vow as a military spouse.
Yeah.
To still be part of that community is, you know, the service member will go to ROTC or an academy or boot camp, basic training, and their individual identity is stripped. And they are, you know, trained in group identity, if you will. And then all of a sudden, whether it's 2 years, 4 years, 20 years, 32 years, 40 years after retirement, then it's like, okay, you're an individual again. And that's really hard. I really feel like military members, family members, veterans need to have that sense of purpose. And it takes those without the blinders on, fresh eyes, if you will, to help them find that purpose. Maybe if they enjoy, you know, if they enjoy being with animals, go to the local veterinarian and see if you can volunteer to walk the dogs or, you know, play with the cats. Something that brings you joy. And sometimes you have to think about, you know, what brought me joy before I joined the military.
Yeah. You know, I can't agree with you more. One of the things that always bothers me, we have so many people that serve in the military. And I told you this when we had the prep call. You know, if you asked me to take the life of somebody else when I was for 36 years, and it's hard to adjust when you come out of the service and just go home and not have that around you anymore, not have your team or the other fellow service members with you anywhere. So it's just tough. It's a heck of an adjustment, that's for sure. I want to talk more about what your resilience coaching and the use of acronyms. I know you like to use, I forgot most of the acronyms that I had, but we need to take one more break, so hold on there. I'll be right back. Now, here's a word for two more of our organizations that make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Kristen Christie, American Resilience Coach and co-founder of National Veterans Vocational Village. Remember, this is your show. Tell us about your transition. Tell us what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And I'll actually reach back out to you. Kristen, you told me before that you love acronyms. I heard you talk about this just a few minutes ago. And your resilience coaching, would you give me a few examples of that? I mean, I can think of all the examples I had when I was in the military. I can't, you know, there's too many of them. I had to get in fact, I was out of the Army 10 years and I started looking at acronyms and I had to call somebody and say, what does this mean now? So I'm confused. So would you talk about this a little bit? Give me some examples.
Yeah, I, you know, again, as a military spouse and living in the military and veteran community, we work with a lot of acronyms. And so I'm actually writing a book on the acronyms. And it's just a mindset change. Like something we've been talking about without saying it necessarily today is PTS, post-traumatic stress. But for me, the acronym means post-traumatic strength. I am who I am because of and in spite of the situation and the life's tests that I've been through, and we can all find that strength. I think it's so important. Some people talk about PTG, post-traumatic growth. And those are mindset changes. You know, I had talked a little bit about when we got our assignment to Grand Forks, North Dakota, aka Whiteout, North Dakota. That was not on our list of places to go. So to us, that was a big old fat no, N-O. How many times do we get no, whether it's a promotion or an assignment, you know, throughout our lifetime? Every day we hear the answer no. And what did we do as kids when we went to one parent and asked for something and got the answer no? We went to the other parent.
But my parents would always team up on each other. They must have called somebody else and they come because they both say no to me. I never won with her.
Oh shoot! But you would ask, right?
Yeah, but so I'd ask. I tried.
Next opportunity.
Yeah.
So no stands for next opportunity. Now, sir, I will say there's a caveat. When it comes to your body, no means no.
Yes.
But when you get a no, like my husband today, I remarried. He's in the Air Force. He received a no as an answer from work. And I had to help him get through. It means next opportunity. There's something else out there for you that's better. And that's when you take that competitive edge, you feel the feelings, but then you bounce back and you march forth. When I speak to Air Force and Space Force, Legacy Air Force, fly. First, love yourself. It's important.
I love
self-care is not selfish.
Yeah.
But when you fly, then you can fight and win. And then my favorite, I already talked about hope, but one of my favorite ones that I'm trying to implement now is JOMO. Joy of missing out. Boundaries. We all have to have boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my goodness. I think those are all good. You need to send them and make sure I understand exactly what they mean. Send them to me so I got them on email so I can try to remember. I can't remember most of them. Okay. You've declared March 4th as the National Resilience Day. Why and how do you hope people will recognize it?
Yeah, you know, we have the national calendar that talks about National Ice Cream Day, which is one of my favorite days of the year. I will say my WAIT is an acronym, TLC, thick like cheesecake. and then we have, you know, Armed Forces Month in May and all of these things that we celebrate. We don't have a Survivor's Day. We've all survived something. And it gets down to resilience. So when I was looking through the calendar one day, I saw March 4th and I'm going, March 4th and conquer. That's what National Resilience Day is all about. We go forth and we conquer our insecurities and our disappointments and our self-limiting beliefs. And we make things happen, good things happen. For us, for our family, for our community, for our futures. So it's a mindset change, just like those acronyms. And it's so important to me that when my new groom asked me to marry him, I said yes. However, we are not marrying each other's debt. We've got to get out of debt. And then we have to get married on a March 4th. So this year, we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary on March 4th.
All right. Congratulations. What's the most important thing you like people to get out of our discussion? I mean, we've laughed. I almost cried here a couple of times about your stories. But what's the couple of things that I'm not a couple? I mean, what do you want our listening audience to get out of our discussion?
Live life together. Find that person. You know, I talked about hope. Hold on, pain eases. But it also stands for help one person every day. When you need your pain to ease, get outside of your own circumstances and help someone else. Do life together and hold on to those resources. Every installation, every city, every place we live have resources. And a lot of them are specifically for veterans. Reach out. They are waiting to help. And when you see someone that is just not acting themselves, it's okay to stand next to them, to give them a hug and say, I'm here, and to be with them, sit with them in the darkness, but be that flicker of light, that flicker of hope for them.
I can't agree with you more. You know, I every time I walk by somebody, I always say, hello, how you doing? Good morning, good afternoon, or whatever. A lot of times I'll look at the ground and I'll sort of yell at them, hey, good morning, how you doing? you've got to reflect that positive attitude to people. And you hope that's right. You hope they get that little spark out of that. Hey, how can people contact you? I know you got a website and a phone number. I mean, if somebody wants to reach out to you, how do they do that?
Yeah, my website is KristenChristieCares.com. They can find me on LinkedIn, Kristen Christie. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. And then I like to give everyone my telephone number because I want to be an emotional support human. My number is 620-304-HOPE-4673.
Wow. You're perfect. This is, first of all, let me say this has been a wonderful discussion. I just, you know, thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do. Because you are making a difference. You're getting the word out. And I said a little while ago, you can keep talking forever, but there's always people that's going to need your help, going to need your communication, going to need to listen to what you have to say. And so spreading the word and talking to people is certainly important. Any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience that maybe we missed or you want to, you know, emphasize something out there that you want to say again?
I just want to end with one sentence. Hope is not canceled.
That's a good, hope is not canceled. That's for Dr. Chin. Well, thanks so much for being on the show today. And I just want to, you know, it was just great having you and to share your story. It's an important story that a lot of people need to hear. We're going to see you again next week to continue our celebration of Women's History Month in part two of this series. We'll talk about some of the amazing women like yourself with the military backgrounds who have played a vital role in the American history and find out who inspired you. And so I guess we'll see you again next week. So thank you again so much.
Thank you.
Thanks to Kristen Christie for being out there today. Her story is so inspiring. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say I hope it's a good review, but if it's a bad one, I guess I can take that one too. While you're there, you can see that we can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who could have jobs and services that are available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And we just added a new job board in partnership with Recruit Military, where you can search for a job that's the perfect fit for you. Check out this video on our website to learn how to fine-tune your search. You can also create your own individual profile. Scan the QR code on the screen or the QR code on the website to create your profile. All information collected is confidential and won't be shared with anyone. We want to assist you any way we can. I want to say that again. We want to assist you any way we can. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Kristen Christie for joining us today and sharing her amazing story. Please be sure to tune in next week and continue our discussion with Kristen. You know, today we talked about suicide prevention. And before the show, I went back and started doing a little bit of research about our country and suicide. And I found out there's approximately 132 suicides a day, even though there's 17 a day in our veteran community. And I think to myself, what are we doing about it? What are we doing to make a difference? What are we doing to help our fellow Americans or our service members or our families or whomever? We've got to talk to each other. We've got to help each other out. We've got to do what we can to make a difference. You know, since 2001, I've told you guys this story before, since 2001, there's been about 140,000 veterans take their lives. That's way too many. We've got to do something about it. We got to talk to each other. We got to make a change. We got to start communicating and doing all we can each and every day. Again, thanks for watching. Thanks to New Mind Studios, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEB Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.